98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Wichita's number one talk.
Good morning, 7 o'clock. This is the KNSS Morning News with Steve and Ted. I'm Steve McIntosh. Wichita police investigating a suspicious death. We have the story.
Hurricane Helene pounding Florida and Georgia. I'm Ted Woodward. Those details just ahead.
Police are calling a man's death suspicious. The man was discovered in North Wichita Thursday morning at I-135 and 21st. EMS attempted to render aid, but the man was pronounced dead at the scene. The identity of that man has not been released.
Hurricane Helene has been producing major wind gusts, knocking out power for many residents in Florida. Fox Weather's Mike Seidel is in Perry, Florida, with a first-hand look at the effects.
It's much better now. We have a little bit of a light shower. This is about it for the rainfall. The winds are still gusting upwards of 40 miles an hour from the other direction because we're on the backside, so they're coming around from the southwest or west-southwest. We had a wind gust of 99 miles an hour in that eastern eye wall at 11:10 Eastern last night. It was late on Thursday night, and that was our peak gust, sustained winds 55 miles an hour. So that's what is going to knock out power. Basically the entire county and all the counties in the Big Bend area are without power.
And one person has been killed in Florida so far.
Members of the Red Cross in Kansas have traveled to Florida to assist with recovery efforts from Hurricane Helene. Kansas first responders from Wichita, Derby, and Sedgwick County are also there to provide swift water rescue operations. Lance Field with the Kansas Fire Marshal's Office says they are working to get people to safety.
Some of the equipment and assets they took with them are hard-bottom boats and inflatable boats, and they train specifically with those throughout the year for scenarios just like this.
Crews from around the country are mobilizing and prepared to head to Georgia if needed.
Growing calls for New York City Mayor Eric Adams to step down. As prosecutors say, the Democrat abused his power in a nearly decade-long criminal scheme. Mayor Adams said he did not do it.
According to the criminal indictment, which is more than 50 pages long, prosecutors laid out a history of corruption that they say started when Adams served as Brooklyn Borough President and continued through Adams' 2021 mayoral campaign. Prosecutors say Adams took bribes, sought out illegal campaign contributions, and accepted free flights, dinners at high-end restaurants, and upgrades at luxury hotels from wealthy foreign nationals. The indictment comes amid at least three other ongoing and separate federal investigations linked to people in Adams' administration, leading to a slew of resignations in recent weeks. But Adams says he's staying on. In New York, CB Cotton, Fox News.
Charges have been filed against a man accused of shooting a woman outside Cessna Elementary School in South Wichita. 46-year-old Vincent Solomon, released from a hospital and charged Thursday with attempted first-degree murder, aggravated kidnapping, aggravated assault on a law enforcement officer, and interference with a law enforcement officer. He was shot by a Sedgwick County sheriff deputy. Bond was set at $750,000. The woman who was shot remains hospitalized, but police say she is expected to survive. KNSS News Time now, 7:03, 3 minutes past 7 o'clock.
Kansas City Chiefs going for their 10th straight win on Sunday afternoon. We'll preview that coming up in sport.
September is National Suicide Prevention Month. That story coming up with Steve and Ted in the Morning on KNSS. KNSS News Time now, 7:07, 7 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Friday morning. The access road to Sim Park, Botanica, Sim Golf Course, and Old Cowtown Museum will be closed overnight. City says it's due to safety and security concerns. Beginning Tuesday, the closure will take place nightly from 9 p.m. until 6 a.m. Signs will be posted along Amadon and Museum Boulevard near the entrances to Sim Park and Botanica, warning of the closure. Officials say the area has seen reported increases in street racing and property crimes.
A mother in Pennsylvania convicted of killing her two children.
Lisa Snyder will likely spend the rest of her life behind bars. The mother was convicted this week of murdering her 8-year-old son, Connor, and 4-year-old daughter, Brindley, and hanging their bodies in the basement of her Albany Township home about 60 miles northwest of Philadelphia. Snyder told investigators her son was bullied and threatened to take his life, but authorities say the evidence disputed those claims. They also found no proof he intended to harm his sister. The conviction carries a mandatory life sentence with no possibility of parole. Tom Graham, Fox News.
The Pope is in Belgium, where he'll meet victims of one of the Catholic Church's most notorious scandals.
For the last year, Belgium's parliament has heard abuse survivors recount their experiences of predator priests. Now Pope Francis is due to meet 15 people who suffered at the hands of the clergy. They've written an open letter urging him to launch a universal system of church reparations, demanding he take responsibility for the damage done to their lives. The scandal casts a long shadow over the Pope's visit. The final hymn for Sunday's centrepiece Mass had to be replaced. It was written by an alleged abuser. Jonathan Savage, Fox News.
September is National Suicide Prevention Month. Joan Tammany is Executive Director of ComCare of Sedgwick County Mental Health Center. Tammany tells KNSS News the National Suicide Hotline is 988, and that can be a connection for more help.
If you want to come to the crisis center, we can screen that individual in person. We can keep them with us for 23 to 72 hours to get them through that crisis and help them establish ongoing treatment services. You know, we have therapy, we have case management and wraparound supports.
Joan Tammany is our guest this weekend on Issues 2024, Saturday and Sunday morning at 8 on KNSS. KNSS News Time now, 7:09, 9 minutes past 7 o'clock.
Right now in traffic, things are actually looking fairly good. The traffic volumes are picking up. Heaviest does seem to be westbound on Kellogg in a couple of different places, around 143rd Street East, and then fairly heavy there right around Greenwich. But otherwise, things looking okay at the moment. Just continue to watch for slowdowns out there in the road construction areas. Those start up about this time every morning. Traffic update from 98.7 at 1330 KNSS. I'm Chad Chambers.
Now the KSN Storm Tracker 3 forecast with Kansas Today meteorologist Ronnell Williams. Good morning, Ronnell.
Hey, good morning, Steve and Ted. Happy Friday. How we doing?
Hey, it is Friday and we are happy. Yes, sir.
You know what? In our road to the weekend, come to think about it, you know, things haven't been too bumpy out there. Of course, a completely different story, you know, east of us where Helene, you know, that's been making headlines. Once a hurricane, now a tropical storm. But you know what? Despite the downgrade, still very dangerous. So they're still undergoing the threat of tornadoes and flooding and damaging winds anywhere from Georgia, even through Florida still, and the Carolinas. If you do have family or friends that's, you know, being impacted by that storm still, just call them, text them, check up on them, as things are still very dangerous in that part of the country. Now, here locally, things are going to be just fine through this upcoming weekend. To kickstart our weekend, things are going to be slightly above the norm today when it comes to our afternoon high of 82 degrees. A northerly breeze going to be on the lighter end of the spectrum, though, only getting up to around 8 to 18 miles an hour. And we may see our clear sky maybe briefly turning partly cloudy later today due to that tropical moisture. Now, we're not going to see any of the rainfall, but since we're going to be pretty close to the western edge of it, we could maybe see some clouds. So technically, if you do have some cloud cover out there and you're looking to the east, you're looking at tropical cloud cover, safe to say. And later on tonight, just still looking at a mixture of stars and clouds, low of 58 degrees, just as warm tomorrow with a high of 83 with a light north breeze, 8 to 18 miles an hour. Plenty of sunshine towards the end of the weekend. Sunday, similar high, 83. And then 84 to start the new week next week. Now, here's where we'll start to see some changes. You'll notice winds are going to start to pick back up by Monday. There's going to be an approaching cold front. This is going to knock us back down to 76 on Tuesday. Unfortunately, that wind shift, it's going to come through dry. Not expecting any moisture from that front early next week. We'll bounce right back up to 80 degrees next Wednesday, 83 next Thursday, There may be another front that rolls through around that time. Should that happen, though, looks like that one may come through dry, too. Right now, we're at 56 degrees with a light northwest wind at 8 miles an hour and barely any cloud cover out there right now. Another nice, bright start to the day.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you, Ronnell. That's the KSN Storm Tracker 3 forecast with Kansas Today meteorologist Ronnell Williams. Stephen, 10 of the morning, 7:12, and on this Friday morning, September 27th, what a beautiful afternoon yesterday, Ted. I hope you got out and did something. Did you get out for a walk or anything?
I did. I went for a short walk in the afternoon and then another walk in the evening sunset.
I got one in. 82 for a high yesterday. Normal high is 80 in Wichita.
Super nice, yeah.
Precipitation, I looked that up this morning with the National Weather Service, and we are now 7.38 inches less than normal for this time of the year for Wichita. So, yeah, the drought continues. On this date in 1999, a stationary thunderstorm set up camp over Wichita. The rain began on the evening of the 26th and continued until early in the morning of the 27th. And many rainfall records were set, among them almost 4 inches in 1 hour, almost 5 inches in 2 hours, and almost 6 inches in 3 hours. A total of just under 8 inches of rain measured at Mid-Continent Airport. That was the old airport. In a 24-hour period, that's the third highest on record.
So. No drought 25 years ago.
Yeah.
Of course, we had the huge Halloween flood in 98.
98.
And we had the following year in September, we had record rainfall.
All kinds of stuff going in the late 90s.
Yeah. The old, not so much now.
The old century didn't want to say goodbye, I guess. On this date in 1979, Congress gave its final approval to forming the U.S. Department of Education. Coming under a little fire. Former President Trump saying we need to get rid of that.
Yeah.
And leave it to the local school boards. That's where the rubber hits the road in the local school districts and school boards.
Mm-hmm.
And the state capitals as well when it comes to education. Big birthday today for you, Ted. Rapper Lil Wayne is 42 today.
Oh, that is huge.
Yeah.
Even though it's Lil Wayne. Very ironic.
Yeah, he's not big. He's Lil Wayne. Dwayne Michael Carter Jr., regarded as one of the most influential hip-hop artists of his generation, according to Wikipedia. Widely considered one of the greatest rappers of all time.
Well, there you go. No wonder I'm excited.
Lil Wayne is pretty big when it comes to the hip-hop world. All right, Stephen, 10 in the morning here on KNSS. And let's see. Oh, birthdays today. I mentioned to Susan Peters a few minutes ago.
Right. That's a biggie.
Got another biggie here, Ted. Sammy Joe, my granddaughter, turning 12 today.
12.
This is our youngest.
Oh, my.
Our youngest grandchild.
Well, that's just outrageous. That doesn't seem possible.
She is a student at the Derby Middle School now.
My gosh.
She's in middle school.
Mm.
Taking up Dutch. She wanted to learn a language, so she's taking up Dutch.
Wow.
And I don't know if they can teach her that. I think she's teaching herself with Babbel, but she also took up the trumpet this year. So now she's going to be able to play the trumpet and speak Dutch and wear wooden shoes and be an expert on tulips.
Smell the tulips.
Plus, here you go. Sammy's a black belt in karate.
Got that, too. I think she's accomplished more by the age of 12 than I have in my entire life.
She's way ahead of both of us, no doubt about it. And she's somewhat precocious. Sammy's having a birthday. Happy birthday to Sammy Joe.
Yeah.
She is 12 years old today.
That's pretty cool.
How about that? Coming up on 7:17, Steve at 10 in the morning here on KNSS. Time for a look at sports this morning with Ted Woodward. Ted.
All right. Let's start out with pro football. First place in the division is on the line as the Chiefs are on the road visiting the Los Angeles Chargers. Chargers are in second place in the division. The Chiefs are on top. In fact, the Chiefs are on a 9-game winning streak right now. That includes the win in the Super Bowl last season, 3-0 this season. And the Chiefs are moving right along. Chiefs are favored by a touchdown in this game. And the Chiefs have beaten the Chargers 10 years in a row on the road, which includes two different cities and three different stadiums.
Well, how about that?
Yeah, see if they can keep that string going. The Chiefs and the Chargers, Mitch Holtis has pregame coverage at 2 o'clock Sunday afternoon. The game will kick off at 3:25 p.m. Sunday right here on your Wichita radio home of the Chiefs, 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. And, of course, speaking of Mitch Holtis, he will be live with us, as he is always, every Friday morning for a preview of the Chiefs game. And that'll be less than an hour from now. We'll have Mitch on at 8:12 this morning, 55 minutes, so make sure you're here for that. In the 8 o'clock hour, our visit with Mitch, and he'll somehow relate this game to Shocker football. Another great tradition we have here at KNSS with Mitch. All right, so the Chiefs and the Chargers Sunday afternoon. And we got college football tomorrow, so let's start to look at that. We've got, the Chiefs aren't in Arrowhead Stadium, but KU is. Yeah, the Jayhawks playing their next four games, home games, in Arrowhead Stadium in Kansas City, while Memorial Stadium gets rebuilt in Lawrence. KU hosting TCU. Both teams lost their conference opener last week. This will be the conference home opener for the Jayhawks, who are trying to snap a three-game losing streak right now. KU is a 1.5-point favorite against the Horned Frogs. That'll kick off at 2:30 tomorrow afternoon in Arrowhead Stadium in Kansas City for the Jayhawks. Early morning in Manhattan for football for 23rd-ranked Kansas State tomorrow. K-State hosting 20th-ranked Oklahoma State. Also a matchup of two teams that lost their conference opener last week. K-State is a 5-point favorite at home in Manhattan in the conference home opener. K-State, Oklahoma State, live coverage for K-State football at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning. The game will kick off at 11 o'clock tomorrow morning in Manhattan. Listen live on your K-State radio home for K-State football, 97.5 and 1240 KFH. High school football. We are into week 4 of high school football. In fact, we had a Thursday night game last night, a matchup of unbeaten teams. Conway Springs on the road at Medicine Lodge. And Conway Springs wins it 45-24. As the Cardinals are 4-0 now on the season, halfway through the regular season. The JUCO football, we have action in El Dorado tomorrow afternoon. What a game. 12th-ranked Butler hosting the 3rd-ranked team in the nation, undefeated Snow College.
Ooh.
Wow. Dennis Higgins will have the call of the Butler game at 1 o'clock tomorrow afternoon, and that's right here on KNSS. And in Hutchinson, the number-1-ranked team in the nation, Blue Dragons of Hutchinson are off to a 3-0 start. They're hosting Ellsworth, Iowa at noon tomorrow. Friends University is off to a 4-0 start. The Falcons are ranked 21st in the nation. Friends on the road at Tabor tomorrow afternoon. Friends leads the nation, averaging 480 yards per game rushing.
What is that, half a mile?
Yeah. They're going to hand off the ball and they're going to get a ton of yardage.
Wow.
Friends ranked 21st off to that 4-0 start. Also 4-0, Southwestern. The Mound Builders are ranked 25th in the nation. Southwestern also on the road tomorrow afternoon at Sterling. Emporia State is ranked 11th in the nation off to a 4-0 start. And the Hornets have won 8 in a row. And they're on the road at Northwest Missouri State tomorrow afternoon. The Emporia State defense leads the nation in interceptions. Takeaways continue for nationally ranked Emporia State. We have racing tomorrow morning at Kansas International Dragway in Mays. It's the Fall Wally Race. And that's that all gets underway tomorrow morning in Mays at the Kansas International Dragway. College volleyball, Wichita State plays its home conference opener tonight, 7 o'clock at Koch Arena. The Shockers hosting the Temple Owls. Shocks are off to a 1-0 start atop the conference. And Major League Baseball. Yesterday afternoon, the Kansas City Royals in the nation's capital taking on the Washington Nationals, and the Royals were going for a three-game sweep. And for the first time in a long time, it wasn't a soccer score. It wasn't 1-0 or 2-0. Actually, some runs in this one. And you heard the game yesterday afternoon on KFH.
Here's the pitch. Fastball chopped to the right side. Salvi gloves up the line, takes it to the bag himself, and the ball game is over. Lucas Erceg retires the side in order in the bottom of the ninth. The Royals score 3 in the top of the ninth, and they complete the sweep of the Washington Nationals in D.C. Final score, Royals 7, Nationals 4. The Royals are now 85-74.
All right. 3 games left in the regular season. It's the Royals in Atlanta taking on the Braves, the least played rivalry between two teams in Royals franchise history. The Royals and the Braves. Tonight, tomorrow night, Sunday afternoon, all those games on KFH. Here's where we're at. Yesterday, the Royals win, the Twins lose. So the Royals have a 3-game lead over the Twins for a playoff spot with 3 games to go. So if it tips either way, the Royals are in the playoffs. ESPN metrics give the Royals a 97.6% chance to make the playoff.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So there we go. And that's where we're at heading into the weekend with the Royals. And that's Sports with Steve and Ted, brought to you by Bel Air Recovery Center. provides detox, residential, and outpatient services for most insurances and veterans. Bel Air Recovery Center improves the lives they touch.
House Call for Health coming up. A celebrity royal speaks out about social media's effects on kids. That's on the way with Steve at 10 in the morning.
This is Steve and Ted on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS.
Good morning, Steve McIntosh, Ted Woodward. 7:30 on this Friday morning. Tropical storm Helene made landfall in Florida overnight. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis advised Florida residents during a news conference.
You need to be right now just hunkering down. Now is not the time to be going out. Not only are we seeing it hit landfall here in northern Florida, you're still seeing surge and water rising in parts of Florida far south from the Big Bend area.
The National Weather Service has issued an extreme wind warning for the Big Bend region of Florida.
A wrong-way driver caused a crash on I-235 in West Wichita yesterday morning, just north of Kellogg. Troopers say a car driven by a 23-year-old woman from Florida was southbound. She was going in the northbound lanes when it collided with a northbound car. That car's 71-year-old driver and 60-year-old passenger, both from Clearwater, suffered minor injuries. The driver of the first car suffered a possible injury, but she was not hospitalized.
Oklahoma has executed a man for his role in the 1992 shooting death of a convenience store owner during a robbery. 52-year-old Emmanuel Littlejohn received a three-drug lethal injection Thursday. He was executed after Republican Governor Kevin Stitt rejected the state parole board's recommendation that Stitt commute Littlejohn's sentence to life in prison without parole. Littlejohn acknowledged his role in the robbery, but denied firing the shot that killed Kenneth Mears.
Congress heads home as Election Day approaches.
Every race counts as Republicans have control of the House of Representatives by just a few seats. House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries is feeling confident he could become Speaker Jeffries.
Feeling any pressure as we head into the election cycle?
No.
The latest Fox News power rankings have over 20 seats rated as toss-ups. On the Senate side, Republicans need to flip just two seats to take over the majority. Fox News polls show West Virginia is the most likely to flip with the retirement of Democratic Senator Joe Manchin, along with Montana, where Democrat John Tester is fighting for his political future, in a state where former President Trump won by almost 100,000 votes in 2020. Ryan Schmelz, Fox News.
Free COVID tests are back.
The government reopened the program Thursday, allowing any household to order up to four at-home COVID nasal swab kits through their website, covidtest.gov. Tests will begin shipping via the U.S. Postal Service as soon as next week. This all comes on the heels of a summer COVID-19 surge and heading into the fall and winter respiratory virus season. Health officials urging Americans to get their updated COVID-19 vaccine and their yearly flu shot. John Saucier, Fox News.
September is National Suicide Prevention Month. Joan Tammany is Executive Director of ComCare of Sedgwick County Mental Health Center. Tammany tells KNSS News 94 people committed suicide in Sedgwick County last year. What are the signs that a person is suffering from depression, which can lead to suicide?
Feels hopeless, feels like they're a burden to others, feels like their life is not worth living. Clinically, depression can manifest itself in many ways. For example, somebody starts having an unregular sleep cycle. So they used to get up at 7, 8 o'clock in the morning. Now they're sleeping till noon or all day.
The National Suicide Hotline is 988. Joan Tammany is our guest this weekend on Issues 2024, Saturday and Sunday morning at 8 on KNSS. Now the forecast with meteorologist Ronnell Williams.
Temperatures starting to tick back up after another cool start in the 50s this morning. Slightly above average high later on this afternoon of 82 degrees. Mostly sunny to partly cloudy skies. And a northerly breeze going to be light at 8 to 18 miles an hour. With your Storm Track 3 forecast, I'm meteorologist Ronnell Williams.
Now clear sky, northwest wind at 6 miles per hour. 55 degrees at Wichita Severe Weather Station, 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Well, the Athletics, the A's, played their final game at the Oakland Coliseum yesterday, Ted. That's quite a ballpark. I mean, they're going to move to Las Vegas in a couple of years, right?
Yeah.
In the meantime, they're going to play somewhere else.
Supposedly, they're going to play in Sacramento for a couple of years.
1953 or 4, the Philadelphia Athletics transferred to Kansas City.
Yeah.
Became the A's, who stayed there.
This is a franchise that has moved before.
Yeah. They stayed there until 67 when they moved out to Oakland, and then they had some success out there with some great ball players over the years.
Three straight World Series, too.
I understand that stadium, though, is kind of funky because
it's a little weird.
Multi-sport stadium, and it's just a lot of foul ball space.
Yeah, tons of foul ball space. But I went to a game there several years ago, and I thoroughly enjoyed myself.
Were you? Okay. Well, the Oakland Coliseum.
Sad to see them move.
7:34, Steve and Ted in the morning here on KNSS. We were going to talk with Fox News Radio's Evan Brown about Hurricane Helene, but it's now Tropical Storm Helene. But Evan's still with us. Good morning, Evan.
Good morning.
It's just because it's a tropical storm doesn't mean it's not nasty, right? What's going on?
That is very much the case. And it is now over Georgia and is now weakened to tropical storm status. But it spent many hours as a hurricane battering the entire west coast of Florida yesterday. And it has done some significant damage, even to the extent we don't fully know just yet. But I can tell you that there has been storm surge flooding from Fort Myers all the way up to north of Tampa Bay. In some cases, it was rather catastrophic. I do know there has been some loss of life. I don't know a tally on that yet. I can tell you that as of just a couple of hours ago, and again, these numbers do change over, you know, every couple hours here, but there were about 1.3 million power customers in Florida.
Ooh, wow.
Who were out.
Yeah.
I suspect that number will decrease dramatically as the day goes on. And as the power, you know, we've got, you know, something like 30,000-40,000 power linemen already here in the state that were staged beforehand. So they're going to get to work very quickly. And as long as they can access where the damage is on the grid, they can get things back up pretty quickly. It means the roads need to be accessible. So obviously before that, the local towns need to go clear the roads and whatnot. But already in Georgia, 800,000 or so power outages. To give you the scope of this thing, the storm is dropping lots of torrential rain in the Carolinas, prompting flash flood warnings. Even though the storm is technically in Georgia, because we technically put it wherever the eye is. Remember, the storm is very, very, very large.
Big one.
Actually,
yeah.
At one point it was 800 miles wide. I'm not quite sure what it is now, but, yeah, it was pretty big.
Front end of the storm, I know there was a tornado, and apparently a tornado in Georgia that killed a couple of people there. But it'll be a while before you can get an accurate count on that sort of thing. How do you measure surge, storm surge like that? Is it just something you eyeball, or you got to?
Well, there are means of doing this, but ultimately the surge is the water that gets pushed in from the sea into land, and it's on top of regular tides. So, you know, we have a tide that's in the evening, right, the high tide. And then at this time of the year in Florida, we have this thing called king tides, which means the natural tides that happen anyway are higher than they are at any other point in the year. And then we put the surge on top. We put the surge on top of the king tide, so it's a kind of like a cumulative effect. But just for instance, you know, but the National Hurricane Center were predicting 15 to 20 feet of surge on top of high king tide in the Florida Big Bend, and they probably got some of that. Now that's a very sparsely populated area, but you have to remember the storm was riding up the whole coast the whole time. And even though we saw maybe 5 or 3 feet of surge in places like Tampa Bay or Sarasota, that was on top of their king tide, which may have been 3 or so. So you're getting about 6 feet of water coming inland. And just think about 3 feet for a moment. I don't know how tall you are. How tall are you?
6 feet.
Okay, so up to halfway up your body.
Halfway up, feet, yeah, about right? Almost to the waist. Yeah.
You don't want that. You don't want to be in that.
No.
You know? I mean, it's not heated, clear, crystal blue swimming pool water. It's dank seawater that's carrying with it everything it's run over. So dirt, debris, wildlife, and live electrical wires. So it's not a good thing to be in, and it does cause extreme damage. In fact, in Fort Myers, in Hurricane Ian, a television and radio station in a single building. Radio station happens to be our Fox News affiliate in Fort Myers. It got flooded out completely, had like 3 feet of water in it. Huh. It had water in it again last night. So, I don't know if it was as bad, but it enough that they're kind of, I think they're off the air or they're out of their building in a different location or something like that. So and that's just one place of work. I mean, imagine it's happening all these homes and everything. And, you know, the Florida Big Bend, like I said, sparsely populated, but the whole west coast of Florida is incredibly densely populated. So, you know, we have a lot of I suspect there will be a big significant impact here one way or the other.
Tell us about winds, sustained winds. How fast?
I think the fastest sustained winds that they were able to clock were 140 miles an hour, which makes it a Category 4 storm.
Yeah.
Now, that doesn't mean you feel that at all times. A sustained wind could be measured at 2 or 3 minutes long, right? Yeah. And it could just be in one little small area of the storm. So people, I think, have this expectation that 140 mile an hour winds means the whole thing's at 140 miles an hour. That's not what's going to happen. You're not going to feel a constant 140 miles an hour. You may feel less. You may feel even more at that at some point, especially with gusts. But but at some point, if they are able to clock a sustained wind at that speed, then that's what it is. But it kind of doesn't matter. I mean, you know, if 130 is no less damaging than 140. And again, we get concerned to think a bit more with that storm surge. And category numbers of storms are just based on wind speed. And I think that they don't necessarily fully communicate the depth or the drasticness of a given storm. So I think we spend a little too much time worrying about things like eyewall location and category number. And, you know, I think that this once again proves that eyewall location doesn't necessarily mean places else are going to be unaffected. They most absolutely were. And category number doesn't delineate things with storm surge, for which there's whole separate warnings for and everything. So, this is how we deal with this. Obviously, it's I think it's imperfect, but it's best we got. And hopefully people are just simply dealing with the emergency management aspect of this as opposed to the cool meteorology. And, they listen to their emergency management officials locally, and they got out of Dodge when it was time.
And we have people from here who are down there. We have some first responders. Folks from the Red Cross volunteers have come down to your area.
We're happy to help for that. Out. We're grateful, yeah.
And, you know, I was talking about a window, that kind of wind. A tree limb and a power line don't stand up that well to that kind of wind.
No, they don't. And, you know, it's funny. My the roof on my house, which we had to redo after a hurricane in 2014, the roof is rated for 185 miles an hour, Miami-Dade hurricane codes. I said, that's great, but it's not rated for a tree trunk traveling at 185 miles an hour that hits the roof.
A missile.
So, you know, that there's a difference, right? That the tiles are guaranteed to stay on and be secured to the house, and the truss is going to stay secured to the house at 185 miles an hour, but something hitting it at 185 is not going to, you know, they're going to have damage.
All right.
So that's how that works.
All right, sir. Hey, thanks for being with us. Appreciate the information this morning. And that's Fox News Radio's Evan Brown, live from Miami with Steve and Ted. Coming up, the Wichita Business Journal update this morning. Spirit AeroSystems pushes back on furlough speculation. That's on the way with Steve and Ted here on KNSS. Steve and Ted of the morning, KNSS 747 now, and three big things.
Three.
Tropical Storm Helene is hammering Florida and Georgia.
Two.
Local volunteers from Red Cross and fire departments have headed for the southeast U.S. to help with storm damage.
One.
Textron Aviation machinist strike enters day 5. No talks expected before the weekend. Three big things, Steve and Ted on KNSS.
Looking at the Cordell and Cordell traffic cameras, can see some really heavy traffic right now. Northbound on I-135 approaching Kellogg. Watch for slowdown there. Also, slow down in that narrow road construction southbound on I-135, trying to exit onto K-96. Traffic on KNSS is brought to you by Joe DeBrava and Carl's Goodyear Tire. It is downtown at Market and Waterman and 47th Street South and Broadway in South Wichita. That's in the former Kmart building. You can see it all at carlstire.com. Carl's Goodyear is your home for complete car care.
Sunny today with a high of 82 degrees. That was our high yesterday. Partly cloudy tonight, the overnight low 58. And then Saturday, mostly sunny, more of the same. Tomorrow's high, 82 degrees. Now a clear sky. Northwest winds at 6 miles per hour, 55 degrees at Wichita Severe Weather Station. 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Hatman Jack's new fall line of hats has arrived. See why people from around the nation make Hatman Jack's their destination. Open Tuesday through Saturday at the Clock Tower in Delano. For the largest selection of Western hats, fedoras, and caps, go see the experts at Hatman Jack's. Steve at 10 in the morning here on KNSS, 7 o'clock on Sunday night. John Whitmer will be on with his John Whitmer show. I believe he missed last week. The Chiefs were on
Sunday night football last week, so, but not this Sunday.
So John's had a whole weekend off, and he's got to pile up a lot of interesting guests because he's had so much time off. Good morning, John. Give us a preview here. What's going on?
Yeah, that's the problem. You give me too much time to think, because, you know, it takes me a while to think. But you give me too much time, up.
Thinking is good.
Thinking is good.
What'd you come up with?
Well, you know, the biggest one is the fact that as of today, we're 39 days. I don't think people really realize how quick this is coming. But there are already places in the country where people are voting. Advanced balloting has already gone out in many states. We're 39 days away from this election. And so we will start again. We do, as you know, we do candidate profiles. We'll start that, resume that again here on Sunday. But obviously the biggest issues that we keep hearing time and time again are immigration and the economy, and we'll explore both of those Sunday night. But hard to believe 39 days from finding out who's going to win this thing.
You know, the way the process goes and the nominating and all that, it seems like it's been at least 2 years that we've had campaigning going.
Yeah, this one's definitely gone on, and it's been such a bizarre election on both sides. I mean, obviously, the Democrats had their issue with having to, you know, kick Joe off the ballot and then put Kamala on the ballot, disfranchising 41 million Democrats at the time. But then, of course, look at what Donald Trump has gone through and the indictments and all the two assassination attempts. This is the most bizarre election cycle that I've been through. It's certainly you've been through since, you know, oh boy, the Lincoln Douglas debate. So this is a bizarre election cycle, but you know, 39 days from now, we'll know who wins.
All right, we sure will. Hey, John, thank you, and good luck on Sunday night at 7 o'clock, the John Whitmer Show with Steve here on KNSS. 7:51 now on this Friday morning. A boy who was abducted over 70 years ago has been found alive.
I'm Gianna Gelosi with your Fox True Crime Minute. A boy who was abducted from a park in California in 1951 has been found alive and well on the other side of the country. Luis Armando Albino was just 6 years old when he was taken from an Oakland park where he was playing with his older brother, lured by a woman who said she would buy him candy. Instead, she flew him to the East Coast where he was raised by a couple as if he were their son. In 2020, back in California, a woman named Alita Alakin did an online DNA test. The results showed a 22% match for a man she never met. She was convinced this was her missing family member and alerted Oakland police. Eventually, it was confirmed. Albino is a retired firefighter and a Marine Corps veteran who served two tours in Vietnam. In June, he flew to California to meet his family, including his brother Roger, who was with him the day he was taken. Roger died 2 months after the reunion. There's more on this story at foxnews.com. Subscribe to the Fox True Crime Podcast with Emily Campagno. I'm Gianna Gelosi with your Fox True Crime Minute.
Another record-setting day on Wall Street.
Stocks ending higher with the S&P 500 notching a new record high on renewed optimism about artificial intelligence. This after chipmaker Micron Technology delivered better than expected financial results along with an upbeat forecast amid strong demand for its chips at data centers due to AI. Shares of Micron rose 14%. Tech was the best performing sector while energy lagged, while gold hit an all-time high and Chinese stocks rallied after Beijing announced more measures to support the country's weakening economy. The Dow winners, Caterpillar, Amgen, and McDonald's. The Dow decliners, Chevron, Merck, and United Health Group. The Dow up 260 points. The Nasdaq higher by 108. S&P 500 up 23. Hillary Barsky, Fox News.
And local business news from the Wichita Business Journal. Wichita-based Spirit AeroSystems is pushing back on a media report that the company is set to start furloughing employees in 3 weeks if Boeing's machinist strike continues into mid-October. Spirit spokesperson Joe Buccino says in a statement to the Wichita Business Journal, quote, "We continue close coordination with Boeing and no decisions have been made at this time." Now, late Wednesday, the Financial Times, citing an unnamed industry source, said that Spirit would begin layoffs in a few weeks if the 33,000-worker labor stoppage on the West Coast was still going. It reported that Spirit, Boeing's biggest supplier, has been using the strike to catch up on work. It's been previously reported that the Boeing strike, which began in mid-September, would not have an immediate impact felt in Spirit's operations. An industry source telling the Wichita Business Journal that there is enough slack in Spirit's system that any production detriment from the strike was not expected in the coming weeks.
One of downtown's most visually prominent office buildings is back on the market after nearly getting a new owner earlier in the year. In recent weeks, the seven-story Riverview building, located on the western edge of the Wichita core, went up for sale at a price of $3.975 million. Move follows news that the 79,000-square-foot building's two anchor tenants, the law company and its subsidiary, LK Architecture, are departing for the downtown Ruffin building by year's end. And that's local business news this morning from the Wichita Business Journal with Steve and Ted. Today, Ted, is National Day of Forgiveness to encourage us to develop realistic methods for incorporating forgiveness in our lives. Forgiveness is a potent tool on a journey of spiritual, mental, emotional, and physical health. Forgive somebody today.
Jesus said we should do that every day.
Yeah. So every day should be Forgiveness Day then, right? I don't know of anybody that I have to forgive. I've been pretty, and I think you have too, been pretty lucky about, I don't have any enemies that I know of. If they are out there, they haven't told me yet, so.
Well, I mean, yeah, we all have our daily transgressions with other people.
One of the toughest things in the world to do is forgive
someone. You can either hold a grudge or you can forgive that person.
Yep.
And move on with your life.
National Forgiveness Day. Hey, we've got quite an exciting 8 o'clock hour here on the Friday morning lined up for you. Steve, at 10 in the morning, the 8 o'clock hour, got the latest on the tropical storm now. Helene was a hurricane. Ted has sports coming up with our special Friday guest.
Yeah, we're about 15 minutes away from our live Friday morning visit with Mitch Holtis, the play-by-play voice of the Kansas City Chiefs. Preview the Chiefs game. That's coming up in 15 minutes. Don't miss it.
Plus, we've got entertainment news. The Blur is on the way, too.
I'm looking forward to this version of the Blur. We got some really good audio and some interesting personalities coming your way. Looking forward to it. That'll be at 8:35 this morning.
And we have traffic and weekend weather in the 8 o'clock hour with Steve and Ted on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. We'll be right back.